This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول الصحابي الجليل قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأني أو تملأ ما بين السماوات والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها. There's a very important hadith that I do believe we really need to know about these virtues, especially living in this time that has too much distractions. Days of patience, a person should be clear about those actions and deeds that will lead him to success in this life and comfort of mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam begin this hadith with his statement, At-tuhur shatr al-iman. At-tuhur here is referring to purity, as it came in some of the narrations of the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-wudu'u shatr al-iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna Allah yuhibbu al-tawabeen wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns those who always and constantly repent to Him, and those who are always trying to be clean and pure and purify themselves from all types of najasat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make at-tuhur as half of the belief. The scholar said because belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is either doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do or staying away from the forbidden things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to do. And one of them is the tuhur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the ummah before they approach him to be in a state of tahara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. Nobody will take care of wudu and try to be in a state of wudu every single moment of his life except somebody who has faith in his heart. Wudu is a sign of faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the sins that a person is committing through the wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all of the nations. They also used to make wudu in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to make wudu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you perform wudu, whatever sins you are committing with your hands will be dropped down. By the time you finish making the wudu, almost all of those minor sins that you committed with those limbs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clean them. And then when you go to the prayer, also the same is going to be given to you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Walhamdulillah. تَمْلَأُ الْمِيزَانِ. The word Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَمْلَأُ الْمِيزَانِ. I do believe each and every one of us is aware of the fact that there will be a mizan on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدُونَ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. On the Day of Judgment, what works is righteousness. The only thing that can save you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your deed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the scale is going to be fixed And this is also what we took from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this is one of the most critical moments. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the tragedy and the hardship is so tough in the way nobody will be able to remember anyone among his family members. So I do believe every conscious human being is aiming for this moment to be perfect when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do is to guide us towards that which will lead us to success, especially in the hereafter. Because my dear brothers, success is the success of the akhirah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Wallahi, the real success is a success in the akhirah. If you fail, or what we call failure in this life, but you succeed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the real success. So one of these moments that will mark your success is to find your mizan being full, the side of the righteousness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person will be weighed and his righteous deed also will be placed on the scale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will bring a person on the day of judgment who is bulk and huge in terms of size, but لا يزن عند الله جناح بعوضة. You will never have the weight of a wing of a mosquito on the scale. Because what works on the scale, my dear brothers, is the heart. How heavy is the heart? And the only thing that makes your heart heavy is your righteousness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guiding you towards that which will make the side of your scale, which you want it to be heavy, and that's a righteous deed, heavier, is to say Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, saying Alhamdulillah fills the scale. Subhanallah. This is not only restricted to Alhamdulillah, it is applicable to all of the adhkar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided you to do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a couple of things that are making the scale of one of us heavier. One of them is this. And then he says, wa subhanallah, walhamdulillah, these two words combined together, tamla'u, aw tamla'ani ma bayna samai wal ardh. Subhanallah. Just to say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward which fills the heavens and the earth. How many rewards you get then? It fills the heavens and the earth. And the scholar said, having combination of these, suggests that if you are to take all of those adhkar given to you by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially that special dhikr that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, which combines almost everything. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla la quwwata illa billah. It has almost everything in it. I remember Musa alayhi salam, he said, Ya Allah, I want you to give me something special that I will be reminding you with, remembering you with. He says, Ya Allah, give me something special that I will be remembering you with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Musa, say la ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, say la ilaha illallah. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, kullu ibadika yaqulu dhalik. He says, Ya Allah, everyone amongst your creation says, La ilaha illallah. I want something special for me, Ya Allah. Which almost nobody is saying. Something that I will be given that one, which will lead me to success with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Ya Musa, it is La ilaha illallah only. Because if La ilaha illallah is to be placed on the one hand of the scale, and the samawat and the earth, they are also on one hand of the scale. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah told Musa alayhi salam, لَقَصَمَتْهُنَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. La ilaha illallah is going to outweigh them. Subhanallah. So he was asking for something special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him La ilaha illallah. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, take this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he told that companion of his, that man says, Ya Rasulullah, awsini. Give me something to be doing in this life, وأوجز, and be very brief. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. He says, always and constantly make sure that your tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a secret behind this. Because you cannot relax. You cannot have the relief and comfort and peace of mind unless if you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Ra'd, الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. He said those who believe and their heart find no way to be tranquil except through the remembrance of Allah. Allah says you should know that only through the remembrance of Allah do hearts find tranquility. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that dhikr is a protection against the shaitan. In the hadith of Yahya ibn Zakariya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the likeness of somebody who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just like a person who was chased by the enemy, and the enemies were trying to get him, and subhanallah, at the end of the day he finds a strong fortress and get inside, and they were not able to meet him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is how the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, take this matter seriously, constantly and always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let your tongue be busy with this. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete your life in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورُ. He said, prayer is light. Light in this dunya, light in the barzakh, light in the akhirah, light in the heart. Iwallah. Only somebody who prays sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can understand this. Prayer is tranquility and is a light. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say that جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the coolness of my eyes in the prayer. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prays sometimes more than 4 hours. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said they witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying at night, and he recited Surah Al-Baqarah in the first rak'ah, Surah Al-Imran in the first rak'ah, Surah Al-Ma'idah in the first rak'ah, Surah An-Nisa in the first rak'ah. 4 long surahs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hatta tafattarat qadama. What kind of translation you can have on this? Except that the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoys being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayer. Iwallah, this is the da'ab and the hobby of the salihin min qablina. They enjoy when they pray. And guess, why do they enjoy? They were enjoying because they observe what we call iqamat as-salah. Iqamat as-salah means you're doing it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also you're doing it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We might get the first one, almost everyone inshallah is upon this, but the second one, many of us are missing this. Believe me, my dear brothers, many of us are missing the second one. Praying according to the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray. It's a very serious matter, because the second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be focusing on is your prayers after the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you have to make it perfect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go on top of the mimbar and pray. And then after he finished, he would tell the companions, I did that so that you guys would know how to pray. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Malik ibn Khuwaylid, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. He always teach them how to pray. One of them came to the masjid, his name was Khalid ibn Rafi', and he prayed, and then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, assalamu alayk. He says, assalamu alayk ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa alayk assalam, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. He said, assalamu alayk ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa alaykum assalam, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yuhabi. The man went to him, respected him, said salam to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not caring about this in the way he cares about his prayer. He was monitoring him, seeing the way he was praying. He says, wa alaykum as-salam. But he should go back and pray because he did not pray. The man went back and he prayed. 3 times it was happening. Whenever he prays, he would come back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, as-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask him to go back and pray. The man said, Ya Rasulullah, وَالَّذِي بَعْثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ. He says, I swear by the one who sent you with the truth. لَا أُحْسِنُ غَيْرَ هَذِهِ فَعَلِّمْنِي. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot pray better than this. Please teach me how to pray. Very smart, you know, request. He says, Ya Rasulullah, teach me how to pray. The Prophet ﷺ told him, فَإِنَّكَ إِمِّتَّ عَلَى هَذِهِ مِتَّ عَلَى غَيْرِ الْمِلَّةِ. He said, if you were to die praying like this, you will die upon something but not the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I said, wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, if anyone one of them is here, this is a very serious matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you pray? It's not a joke. You come to the masjid. Nobody is pushing you. You come willingly. Why can't you make sure that whatever action you are doing in your prayer, you have something to back it up? You go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and He will question you about how did you pray? Allah says, everyone who comes, there will be a strong meeting between Him and Allah about what you did in this life. Nobody is there to help you. So if you're following Fulan and Ilan and you neglected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trust me, my dear brothers, you will definitely be in trouble. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the man how to pray. So I said, it's a very serious matter. The first thing you should do is sincerity, doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is to do it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, the books of the fuqaha and muhaddithin, they are full of description of the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All that you have to do is to contact the scholars, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the scholars if you don't know. Number three, the condition that constitute iqamat al-salah is to pray on time. Pray on time. The scholars said, if a person doesn't pray on time intentionally, his prayers is useless. Even if he prays million times. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ كِتَابًا مَقُوتًا. Jibreel came all the way to teach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at prayer time. That means it is not a joke. It is a very serious matter. You either pray on time and get accepted, or you don't pray on time intentionally and get rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. If you do something which nobody commands you to do, no Quran, no Sunnah, your action will be useless. And the last thing to be observed in the prayer is al-khushu'. Al-khushu' means to be attentive in your prayer, to pray consciously, not to move a lot, and the heart also to be focusing in that which you are doing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned so many things about the virtues of the prayer. You want tranquility in this life. You want yourself to be restricted, you know, in terms of doing those things which are not permissible. Pray to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fashai wal munkar." It restricts you from going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing the wrong things. And also on the day of judgment, everyone wants to have a peaceful judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, "Fasawfa yuhasabu hisaban yaseera." You will get an easy reckoning when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, only the musalloon will get this easy reckoning. Only the musalloon. Allah says, illa musalloon. Except the musalloon. When He says musalloon, that means the salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Not the salah that we accept. The salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. We have to make sure that we do that one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if your prayer is perfect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels to close your page and take you to paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the musalleen. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ. And charity is burhan. Giving charity is burhan. Burhan means dalil ala sidqi iman sahibihi. It's an evidence that iman is there. That you don't just do things which are restricted to yourself, but you contribute to benefiting the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, give as much as you can. Be moderate in your giving, but don't restrict yourself, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might restrict the risk from coming to you. The moment you start calculating, I give, they're still coming back, as long as those people deserve to request that money from you, or that help, that support, you have to give them. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might put restriction, you know, in giving you his risk. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told one of his wife, he says, لا تعي ولا تكي ولا تحسي فيحسي الله عليك. Don't you ever, you know, talk too much, telling people that I have given you this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might observe the same thing in giving you. And if Allah is to do that, you would definitely be in trouble. And that simple thing you give, my dear brothers and sisters, will never be neglected. Allah will take it and preserve it for you. On the day of judgment, you're going to see mountains of reward. You will enjoy your charity. And guess what, my dear brothers? In this life, if you give a charity, Allah promised to multiply it up to 700 times the minimum you will get. You might get the same thing that you are given, but multiplied up to 700 times. Or the risk of Allah SWT will come from some other direction you don't expect. And on the day of judgment, this is when you will appreciate your charity. Somebody met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, "Do you have any excuse to protect yourself with?" He said, "Ya Allah, I don't have any except one thing." He said, "Ya Allah, I used to be a rich person. And if a poor person comes to and borrow money from me, I give him the money. And the rich people also, I give them the money when they ask me to help them with the money. If the rich person cannot pay, I give him respite to pay whenever he can pay. And if the poor person cannot pay," he said, Ya Allah, I used to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, "We also forgive you in the way you used to forgive the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who give the charity. And then the next one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wasabru diya." And patience is diya. Patience is sabr. Call it sabr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said diya. You see, in the first place when he talks about the prayer, he described the prayer as nur. And here he says as-sabr diya. Diya and nur, they are the same thing. Except that diya is the light that comes with high temperature. It's very hot. The light that comes from the shams is described as diya. Why sabr is attributed to diya? Is a light, is something that Allah SWT loves, but Allah SWT call it diya. Because nobody will come and give you millions of dollars or things which you love and then ask you to be patient. Usually when somebody hurts you, when somebody did something wrong against you, then you will be asked to be patient, to control your emotions, to control your anger. It is not easy for a person to hold on his breath. And if you are to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you a lot of rewards. There are three things mentioned by the scholars that patience is supposed to be observed on them. Number one, patience when it comes to righteousness. And by Allah, we really need it nowadays. Because it's not easy to maintain your religion properly in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do with all of these distractions. You need sabr and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are so many distractions that are taking you away from the righteousness. Many people are not praying. Many people are not fasting. Many people are not doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do. So patience is needed when it comes to observing the righteousness. And also patience is needed when it comes to staying away from the ma'asi. Sometimes you might be in a place where it is not easy for you to stay away from the ma'asi. You know, the attraction, you know, the invitation by the evil is so strong, much stronger than the righteous deed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you to be patient, and he says, "Inna min wara'ikum ayyamus sabr." He said, behind you, ahead of you, there are days of patience which are coming to meet you. And the one who observes patience in these days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward of 50 companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reward of 50 companions. In some narrations, he says, 50 companions who had the shahada fi sabilillah. They also got surprised. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, you're talking about them or us?" He said, "You." So do observe patience. Stay away from the ma'asi. Stay away from the ma'asi and be constant in doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will appreciate the happiness in this life before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing that you should be observing the patience on is calamity when it strikes you. You know, in this life, the one who is in control is Allah. But subhanAllah, whenever a calamity strikes any one of us, we turn to forget this fact. We believe in the qadr and the qadr of Allah, that everything has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything you see happening on earth is going, you know, within that qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, nothing goes against the qadr. A believer who knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what he does, relax in this dunya. That's the only way you can get the comfort when it comes to life with the calamities. And you know, to live without test is impossible. It's not even good for you. To live without test is impossible, and it's not even good for you. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alif lam mim, hasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun." Just because you say you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to leave you like that without being tested. He said, "We did test those who came before you, and you also are going to be tested." Test is a sign of love if you observe patience and you do the right thing. He said to her, one of the sisters who was crying when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the life of her son, she was really crying in the graveyard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, "Be patient. She said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي. She told him, get out of this place. Walk away from me. You are telling me this because you are not affected by the musibah that affects me. The Prophet ﷺ, being that simple person, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, if Rasulullah ﷺ tell the companions to take her out of this life, they will kill her within a second. You know. But that's Rasulullah ﷺ. She said, I don't want to see you. He left. And then somebody who was witnessing what was going on, he came to her and said to her, sister, what did that person tell you? She said, he asked me to be patient, and I told him this and that. He said, you told him this? She said, yes, I told him that. He said, do you know who was that? She said, no. He said, that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Rasulullah? He said, yes, this is Rasulullah. And then she got scared. He said, you have to go and look for him and apologize. She left very quickly to Medina. She went to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, ya Rasulullah, please forgive me. Wallahi, I did not recognize you. There's a big lesson for us, because there are some of us, they will never take the truth, even if they know it is the truth, just because it is not coming from so and so a person. She said, ya Rasulullah, I did not recognize you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no problem. She said, ya Rasulullah, I will be patient. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama sabru عند الصدمة الأولى. Patience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from you is the one that you observe right after the calamity hits you. So we have to be very careful, react in a good way, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what He does, and He will, inshallah, grant you a way out of any calamity and tragedy and fitna and musibah that happens to you in this life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wal Qur'an hujjatun laka wa alayk. He said, Qur'an is either hujjah, evidence for you or against you. The Qur'an is the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final revelation, and it contains everything that you need to do in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone has this Qur'an, so it is going to be hujjah either for us or against us on the Day of Judgment. When is the Qur'an going to be hujjah for you? When you apply whatever you read in the Qur'an. There is no benefit in reading the Qur'an if you don't put it into practice and action. And everything you are doing, everything you are saying, when you don't practice it, you don't act upon it, it doesn't benefit you that much. La ilaha illallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you say La ilaha illallah and it happens to be the last word you say before you leave this life, you will go to Jannah. But the scholars said, you must know that nobody will be able to say La ilaha illallah except somebody who used to practice La ilaha illallah before death. Practice is needed. In the grave, Allah will ask you about three things: about Allah, Rasulullah, and the religion. You know, very simple questions and simple answers to be given. But my dear brothers, this is not about the questions and about the answers. It's about, are you going to be able to answer the questions or not? Allah says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Only those who used to apply the answers in this dunya will be able to answer them in the grave. So let's be very careful and do the right thing and have good hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Quran that you're reading is going to be hujjah for you or against you. When you read and you don't apply, you don't do the right thing, you will get into trouble when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran will never support you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a lot mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning this matter, but time will not permit us to go through them. The last thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, he says, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسَ فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا. Subhanallah. He says, every day people go out in the early morning. It's just a parable the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving about our life. Every day when you wake up, you're waking up as somebody who is presenting himself to others to buy. You know, you are selling yourself. Or, in another word, the scholar said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to the fact that you are just like a slave every day. Your actions will be the one that will either free you or keep you as a slave until the time you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, every single morning, try to make it perfect in doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Simply because you are not sure when are you going to leave this life back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. So life is not a joke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you here to try your best to cultivate and harvest as much as you can so that the akhirah will be excellent. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a good and tawfiq in this dunya, an ability to practice the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the dhikr that is based on action. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama salli ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اكفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.